Hello and welcome along to Thailand. Thailand. This one's going to be slightly unlike the rest of my podcasts, which have lots and lots of audio samples. This one's got a few, but frankly, what I thought I'd do with this one is just sit down in the evening sun, watch the sunset over a golden temple in downtown Bangkok, and tell you a little bit about Thailand. So I'm going to try and do it unedited. That's my challenge, which I have to admit is a bit scary, because normally what I do with these is I cut them up and take all the crap bits out. So just a warning, I'm leaving all the crap bits in. No, I suppose the warning is that I'm going to attempt to keep the ball up in the air and tell you all about Thailand fairly quickly and fairly concisely, and then just when I feel myself going into a chasm of monotony or a comedy cul-de-sac where I can't get out, I will I'll do a runner, and I'll probably call it a day. So this is a Thailand podcast. It's a bit confusing, really, because I've been here quite a few times throughout the last few weeks, and that's why I thought, rather than just record loads of stuff coming in and out all the time, I'll just do a quick podcast now. Oh, and I should set it up. My name's Vinny White, and I do podcasts from around the world because I like travelling. I'm on a quest to get to 100 countries, and I'm on country 95. This one doesn't count as a new country because I came here 20 years ago. So I thought I'd tell you about Thailand, but I'm not going to tick it off because I've already, a long, long time ago, ticked this one off when I went around the world when I was about 24, I believe. And I spent lots of time in Thailand because, and that's perhaps the theme of this podcast, Thailand is fucking great. So we'll start with that. I think that's the setup done. So I'll tell you where I am now. I'm in a hotel downtown Bangkok. It's my last night here. I'm flying out on a night flight to Canada. And I used to play on the radio the song One Night in Bangkok. And this time round, I was actually, genuinely... One night in Bangkok. There you go. I would imagine I've just inserted the audio of that fairly cheesy 80s number. But it's true. I'm only one night in Bangkok tonight, but I can tell you quite a lot about Thailand because I've been in and out of it over the last few weeks. Over the last few weeks, I've been travelling the Philippines, Taiwan, Cambodia, and I've done podcasts from all of those. And because I was here 20 years ago, I decided to do something very different. And because recently I've been very city-centric, yeah, I've been to far too many cities, I decided I would go to the countryside. So, having flown into Bangkok, I went to a place called Wang Nam Kiao. So let me tell you a bit about what's going on here in Thailand. Now, a lot of people, when they come to Thailand, they fly into Bangkok or they fly into Phuket and they hang around Phuket. Or they go, if they're a bit more backpackery, they go down south to some of the beaches off Krabi, or they go learn diving on Koh Tao, or they go to a full moon party on Koh Samui. What I'm saying is most people hang around the beaches, and who the fuck can blame them? I mean, they're spectacular, they're white, they're sandy, and everything's gorgeous. This time I didn't do any Thai beaches because I decided to give the beaches of Cambodia a go, which, by the way, amazing. But obviously most people that come here come for the beaches. So yeah, I haven't been to the beaches of Thailand this time, and I haven't been for a long time, but they're spectacular, and why wouldn't you go there? Thailand's a poor country, but it's really on the up. Bangkok is a different animal completely to what it was 20 years ago. 20 years ago when I was here, there were street dogs everywhere, litter, felt a bit like the Manila of today. Now, all the street dogs have been eradicated, it's incredibly clean, it feels unbelievably safe, and they've pumped loads of money into looking after what they know is a big draw, and that is what I'm looking at right now, one of the many temples. There's loads here in Bangkok. Bangkok is worth visiting, even if you were, for example, going to Australia and you wanted to kill a couple of nights along the way and not have chronic jet lag and see something. Obviously, if you're coming to Thailand, you should go to the beaches. Obviously, if you're coming to the Thailand, perhaps you should go to the northern hilly regions and see bizarre things like women with long necks in villages, but their necks elongated, for example, because they've got so many neck bracelets on. Yeah. Type in long-necked women of Thailand and your immediate next reaction will be, good God. Bloody hell. Wow. That must be painful. Owza. Ooh, weird. Is that attractive? I don't think that's attractive. How many? How long does that take? Isn't culture peculiar? The long-necked women of northern Thailand. Anyway, you could go to all those places, and frankly, you should. But even if you think, oh, I just need somewhere in Southeast Asia to spend a couple of days on my way to, for example, Australia, New Zealand, whatever, then you could do a lot worse than Bangkok. And you should come here. So I think it might be the most consistently hot city in the world. I think that's the stat. In other words, if you want a break and you want a hot break, bloody good chance here in Bangkok, because it never really gets cool in any respect. Which, like so many poor countries, is exactly why you can live here for cheap. You know, if you want to build yourself a house on the outskirts of Bangkok, all you're going to need is a bit of corrugated metal and a very simple structure, and you'll probably be all right. I'm not really sure what to do here, because there's a man, and it's difficult to know how to get out of this one, if I'm honest. Oh no, no, I think his wife's coming. I can hear flip-flops. Okay, I don't know what to do. I hope it's not a cigar, or it could be here for ages. God, that has really thrown me through a loop, hasn't it? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I'll just carry on. Well, look, it's all very well for you, isn't it? Walking around a park, drinking your coffee, sitting at your workstation, pretending to do something, masturbating. Please don't be masturbating. But it's quite tricky for me, right here, right now. All right, I'll tell you what, I'll carry on. But I'll have to do it at this weird dipped level. I was saying that Bangkok, you could do a lot worse. And it's great. It's a great city. Lots of golden temples. Buddhism, of course, is the religion, so you'll see lots of monks in orange robes walking around the streets. The king is very highly respected. Whatever you do, never criticise him. That's a law. Always a bit worried about people's ego when they say, there's a law that you can't criticise me. Well, did you read that about Xi Jinping of China? Chinese president, that he's banned people saying you look like Winnie the Pooh, and try to use the Great Firewall of China to restrict the image flow of Winnie the Poohs into China, because, and here's the news, he looks a bit like Winnie the Pooh. I mean, if you look like Winnie the Pooh, and everyone's saying you look like Winnie the Pooh, in my book, the best thing to do, I mean, if I remember my playground, the best thing you can do is go, I own it, I'm friends with Tigger. That really did piss me off, so I had to put a break in the recording, because another guy came and sat right next to me, lit up a cigarette, then pulled out his phone and started having a really fucking obnoxiously loud video call. Oh, at least when I record this stuff, I have the respect to find somewhere quiet, not just for you, but also because I don't like bothering people. Can we all just remember, when you're sat next to a swimming pool in a hotel in Bangkok, when you're out looking over a view, when you're in a restaurant, when you're in a pub, when you're in a temple, right, and you make a video call or scroll through your obnoxiously irritating fucking Twitter, it annoys everyone else. It must be fantastic to not realise that. Because I had to move because of fucknuts Magoo, I've decided to hang out next to the swimming pool, which is great, but there's a conference going on in a large sort of reception room next to the swimming pool, so hopefully there'll be a large round of applause at the exact moment I say, ladies and gentlemen, that was a podcast about Thailand. Right, so where did I go? I think I've covered where everyone else goes, which is beaches, beaches, islands, beaches, beaches, islands and beaches, and if you're a sex tourist, knocking shops. But if you I surprised myself with that, sorry. Yeah. So I'll tell you where I went this time. I went to a place called Wang Nam Kiao. Now, if you look at a map of Thailand, there's a train line that runs across from Bangkok all the way to the border with Cambodia. Why don't I get the train, get off halfway along in a place where definitely no tourists ever go, have a little knockabout, see what I can find, spend a couple of days there, in the greenery, away from cities,
and then get back on the train, a different train but on the same line, and scoot off to the Cambodian border. And that's what I did. And I got off at a place called Cabin Bury. Yeah, vinniewhite.co.uk, and I'll stick a link to where it is. Got off at Cabin Bury, and I didn't see any white guys for 4 days. Anywho, Cabin Bury, what goes on there? Don't know, because I went north into Wang Nam Kiao, and to do that, I had to get a tuk-tuk to a major town, hang around a bus station, get on a bus, and get off the highway in the middle of nowhere. Realised that was probably the wrong thing to do, walk for a bit, and then ended up at what was surprisingly a gorgeous resort. Right, so follow that train line from Bangkok all the way to the Cambodian border. About halfway, there's a little development, Cabin Bury. Get off there, head north, and you'll find Wang Nam Kiao. I really wanted to do something remote and adventurous because I was sticking to the cities too much. Wang Nam Kiao, I would imagine most people haven't been to that listening to this, but I would recommend it actually. It's a very different animal to most of the trips that people take. No sniff of a beach anywhere. And you're in forests and fields, and the fields are, and I didn't think I'd say this, but quite often, strawberry fields with strawberry shops at the front of them. So if you're a big fan of strawberries, you could do a lot worse than Wang Nam Kiao, Thailand. Oh, I should tell you how I got to all these places. Right, check into this hotel. It was great. Next day said, hey, love your hotel. Can I do a few more nights? He said, no, we're fully booked. Fuck. Went to another hotel, even more remote. I'll put the link in the description. Got shown to a little cabin by a lake in what felt almost like a sort of English novel, like a Jane Austen novel. All lovely plantations and just wonderful gardening all around the lake with a tiny little wooden hut that looked almost like a miniature British cottage. There was also one that was Dutch themed and had fake windmill blades stuck to it. They're obviously going for some weird European theme. One of the buildings, one of the other little sort of bungalows around the lake, had a fake phone box that looked like it should probably be in France. Like, good effort. So think of lots of European houses from various different European nations in various different sizes, scale them down, make them out of wood, stick them next to a lake. Wang Nam Kiao, that's what you got, baby. So it became very immediate that I needed some sort of transport. Asked about renting a moped or a motorbike. They didn't understand me. Next thing I know, hello, who's this? Some bloke turns up. He's the brother of the owner of this bizarre bunch of accommodation around a lake. He comes along, right? He says, hiya, I'll just be your guide. Just pay me what you want and I'll just drive you around for a few days. Is that all right? That's absolutely all right. That is absolutely more than all right. I have done well here. And Thailand is a country of fixers, yeah? Like many African nations, and just many poverty-stricken nations, if you need something, you'll find it, and there will be people to help you, as long as you just look after them financially. You never have to actually really talk about the money. Have a great time, pay them what you think it's worth, give them a big smile, they're more than happy to help. So for a few days, I was driven around, I looked at bison, I looked at strawberry fields, and I went to the best coffee shop I've ever been to. A lakeside one with an iced frappuccino. Who knew? So Wang Nam Kiao is a place to, if you feel like life is too much and you don't even want to see people on a beach and you don't want to see any white people for a few days and you just want to be away but safe and looked after in the bosom of the country, almost hugged, metaphorically hugged by the people of this fine nation, Wang Nam Kiao is the place for you. They've got buffalo, strawberries, a bloody good coffee shop, and some of the most obscene temples I've ever seen, which is weird because it doesn't seem to be a very populated part of Thailand. But yeah, they've got loads going on. Okay, there's too many people around. What I'm going to do, I'm actually going to leave it here. I'm going to call this one being beaten, because now the waiter's hinting that he wants to get me a drink and there's people everywhere, and I guess what's happening is the sun's setting and a lot of people are coming out from the hotel and taking up every possible place to see the lovely sunset over the temples of Bangkok. And who can blame them? I may be dissing them and acting as if I'm not a tourist, but I am, of course, exactly that.
Travel 20-something years ago, I was in Thailand and I was going around the world, which, by the way, if you're a young person, no, actually, never mind if you're young, any age, but particularly if you're debating a gap year, you should. Anyway, 20 years ago, I was here in Thailand. I'd spent a few months traveling around Brazil and Argentina, and then I lived in Australia for 6 months and did a load of other stuff, and then ended up here in Thailand. And it was sad in a way, because I was coming to the end of certainly the trip of my life. It was the end of my gap year. Most people that do a gap year are doing, you know, a year between university. I'd already got a job, but I was unhappy in it. And I thought, you know what, it's time to do something different. So I quit everything. The sound of a little moped. Anyway, 20 years ago when I was here, 20-something years ago when I was here, I came to a place called Koh San Road, and I'd never seen anything like it in my life. There's photographs of me looking very young, eating a grasshopper, a deep fried grasshopper with some Scottish guy. Met a load of people, ended up getting very drunk, and did all the things that you do on Koh San Road, and it was kind of, not those things. I presume if you want to, you can see ladies of the night, or lady boys of the night. Or boys of the night, anyone really that works in the night. It's all available at Koh San Road. So, at the time, was everything. And I remember particularly, Moby's 18 album was out at the time. And I remember I was walking down Koh San Road and everything was illegal. Illegal CDs, DVDs, even certificates for universities. And I remember thinking, do you know what? I've never seen that Moby CD. And it was a Best of Moby. And it had loads of, you know, like any best of album, it had loads of tracks from various albums from Moby. And I said to the Thai guy running the store, I said, can I take a copy of this? I can't believe you've got this. You can't even get this in the UK. And he said, no, of course you can't. I made it. So he picked all the best tracks from Moby and put them all on an album called The Best of Moby, because Moby hadn't got around to it. And I thought, what a brilliant summarisation of the entrepreneurial spirit, shall we say, of the Thai people. And the reason I'm recording this now and telling you this is I'm walking up what's just about to turn into Koh San Road, and I haven't been here for 20 years, and I'm really looking forward to seeing if it's as bonkers as it used to be 20-something years ago, and if they're still knocking out dodgy CDs. I presume not, because who's buying CDs? But we'll see if you can buy some good old illegal goods here. And here it is, wow. Okay, it's pretty lit up. I've got across the main road, but the traffic's stagnant, so that shouldn't be an issue. And avoid a couple of mopeds. And suddenly everyone's white. Lots of white people standing around. Here I am at the very beginning of Koh San Road. And I can get a tattoo if I want. There's a guy there with a stand-up comedy sign. If I've got time, I'll go to that stand-up comedy gig. There's a woman selling deep-fried locusts, deep-fried grasshoppers, lots of fruit stands, and yeah, it's pretty mental. Pimped up tuk-tuk with lights on it. Trying to get around in front of me. And a shit ton of people. And of course, right, boss. They're doing Sang Som, which is, they call it whiskey, but it's rum technically, in a bucket with Red Bull and Coke. Exactly as they were 20 years ago. This guy is the world's worst singer. I'd like to tell you it's karaoke. It's not, he's just shit. And left and right of me, all kinds of clothes shops. Closed stalls, I should say. It's a bit like Brick Lane Market in London, but all a bit more Thai. Doesn't have quite the undercurrent that it used to have, but then in fairness, it is 7:30 p.m. Come 2-3 in the morning, I think it would be a very different animal. Everyone from every nation comes here to Koh Sam Road. It's definitely got a bit swankier. I mean, it has got swankier, but there's a weed shop. That's new. I didn't know you could buy weed in Thailand. I don't know if it's really weed, but maybe it's weed products. Plantopia. And there's a couple of swanky restaurants, which definitely weren't here 20 years ago. Anyway, you get the idea. It looks pretty much like it did 20 years ago, doesn't it? Without the CD stand. I'm sure he's saying rock around the croc. Listen. He's saying croc. He's combined Elton John's Crocodile Rock with Rock Around the Clock. Until you rock around the croc. Is this bad? Is this in poor taste? Yeah, probably. I think I might be diving into one of those realms of comedy that you're not allowed to go into. Mild piss take out of people's accent. Hey man, he said croc. What you gonna do? Anyway, I'll leave it here because it's gonna get very loud now, but basically, there's a lot more advertising. There's a lot more polished restaurants. It's definitely less rough. And I don't know where all the ladies of the night are. I could have sworn they hung out here 20 years ago. Maybe that's moved. But there's a family next to me, for goodness sake. A family with a pushchair. Wandering through with their handbag loosely around them. Yeah, maybe it used to be rough and now the rough bit's moved. Anyway, I'm just here to have a meal.
The Beatles first sang in 1963, reformed in Bangkok to bring us that chart topper again. The Beatles, live from Thailand. I think it was them. They did have heavy disguises on, so most people thought they were small, middle-aged Thai men. But prosthetics, of course. Paul McCartney, famously 5 foot and 98 pounds. I had a great meal of noodles on Koh San Road, then followed the sign for stand-up comedy. It was some guy waving it above his head, and I thought, oh, come on then, might as well. So I paid for my ticket, took a seat, and was immediately disappointed by some stand-up comedians so bad. I actually nearly cut myself open. Have you ever had it where you cringe so much that you push your own nails into your arm as some form of bizarre stress relief? Yeah, I was doing that. The comedy was fucking brutal. I haven't cringed that much since, oh, I don't know. When was the last time I cringed that much? I would say before that comedy club, the last time I cringed to that level is when I threw up in my bag on a busy ferry and a little bit of my sick landed on a random stranger's leg and hung on to his hairs on his leg. And he didn't know. And I couldn't tell him. And lots of people were looking at me. And I kind of wanted to die. So that's a way of describing the comedy that I witnessed. It was so bad that I'm actually going to share it with you. Which is a punishment, really, isn't it? So brace yourself. This is the comedy as witnessed in a Koh San Road, Bangkok, Thai comedy club.
This is Thailand. You need to fucking make sure that he's not a lady boy, right? So I've got like three things that I look for. First thing, is he Adam's apple, right? But she was so fucking massive. You know, her neck is so thick, I couldn't locate the Adam's apple. But even if she had one, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, from the sound of her. I mean, she probably had two, you know? So that's out. So the next thing that I do is a bit illegal, right? So keep it between us. When she's not looking, right? I slightly use my elbow and graze her boobs. Just to check whether it's real or not, right? Just slightly. But it's become a habit of mine, you know, like, nowadays, even if I go out with a girl, real girl, I know that she's not a lady boy, I still do it all the time. Can't help it, you know, like, I'm so professional that it, you guys, all the women that here, you probably got great by me today already. You didn't realize it at all. Shit, don't beat me up, right?
Wow. So there you go. I'll stop it there. That's a man in 2025 doing comedy about pushing his elbow under people's boobs to check to see if they're transgender. A gag that, A, doesn't actually make sense. I mean, there's been fake boobs available to anyone that wants them since their invention in the 1960s. A gag that, B, if it made sense, may have worked in the 1970s. And a gag that, C, was delivered with the charisma of a shady pervert. So, you know, didn't really win the crowd on that one. And because the gag didn't land, obviously, so he then said, and you may have heard that right, I'm so professional at it, talking about surreptitiously grabbing boobs, all you women here probably got raped by me today and didn't realise it. So that's the level of cutting-edge comedy that is available in Bangkok. Yeah, unfortunately, this guy didn't get the memo that sexual assault gags aren't really in anymore. And taking the piss out of trans people in a Thai comedy club is about as fashionable as asking for a Hitler moustache at a Jewish barber. After that failure, another guy came on who was Canadian, and he was all right, I suppose. He was the headliner. He wasn't great. It reminded me, actually, how if you can't make it in your own country, you can always try in someone else's. Then I remembered how I became a talk radio host and comedian in Canada. So I pushed that feeling down into my belly with my noodles and drowned it out with a whiskey. One thing Thailand isn't about is comedy. But what is it about? It's not really about Bangkok. And it certainly isn't about Wang Nam Kiao. Thailand, really, for most people, is 2,600 kilometres of coastline. It's diving. Thailand is full moon parties, green curry, massages, red curry, palaces, yellow curry. Why are all Thai curries traffic light colours? Hiking. It's about Buddhist temples, and Thailand's about happy people and exotic wildlife. It's epic. I love it. If you enjoyed this podcast, and perhaps you're thinking about going to Thailand, maybe again, I would encourage you to listen to a very recent podcast I did on Cambodia, as some might argue Cambodia is the new Thailand. They've both got their bonuses, but Cambodia is spectacular. So if you like Thailand and hot weather and tropical loveliness, then Cambodia is also an absolute peach for you. So do listen to that. And I believe if you go back in the archive far enough, you'll also hear podcasts from Vietnam and Japan and blah, blah, blah. Lots of Asia. Okay, I'm going to leave it there because I'm still getting over having to rehear that comedy. I use air quotes around the word comedy, of course. Quick update on me. So I am selling my business in Canada, MrPhotoCanvas.com, and I'm selling my place in Canada and shifting out. It's a long story if you're interested, and there's actually quite a long rant. Go to the blog pages of MrPhotoCanvas.com. All things are good. I feel groovy and happy, baby. And I'm really looking forward to the rest of this year. What does all this mean? It means I'm off to Canada, like now. But it does mean that ultimately, once I've sold everything over there, I'll have a lot more time, a bit of money, and lots of freedom to do more and more of these podcasts and more projects. One of those projects, I can tell you already, is that I'll be doing Edinburgh Festival again this year. If you're interested in that and you want to come along, it'd be lovely to have you. It's all about a comedy guide to the history of electronic music. You can learn more at vinnywhite.co.uk. So that's vinnywhite.co.uk, and you'll find links to the relevant show, History of Electronic Music, and you'll find all the podcasts and lots of other stuff. So have a good old dig about there. Oh, also you can make a donation if you like. I don't think you should give me much, but I do think you should give me the price of a coffee, which in Portugal is 70 cents, and in Denmark I found out that it is 5.50. So make of that what you want. Go for the mean average and send it over, baby. But if you don't, that's fine too. Right, big love. I will chat to you when I come back from another country. I don't know where, I don't know when, but it's going to happen. Big love.
MakePodcasts.com